there's one thing I noticed, John. It's that the discussions, the doomsayer discussions about the deficit are kind of cyclical. Every 2 or 3 years, we get economists coming out and saying, you have to deal with this now because it's about to become unsustainable. I mean,
but if I borrowed as much money as the federal government,
yeah,
it would be more than cyclical. I mean, it would be,
yeah, they'd bring
be every
back
morning,
the debtors' prisons of Charles Dickens.
What the hell are you doing?
Well, many people say now is the time. The time has finally actually come when we are no longer able to sustain this.
There's no turning back now. The era of debt denial and the denial of its consequences are over.
That is Erskine Bowles, co-chair of the President's Deficit Commission. The final plan from the commission will go to a vote tomorrow. It needs 14 votes from 18 members, and there's a lot of skepticism about whether or not there'll be enough members voting in favor. But one person from the Yes column joins us this morning. Alice Rivlin sits on the President's National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform. She was the first director of the Congressional Budget Office, as well as a former Federal Reserve vice chair. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, try to give us a picture of the severity of the deficit. I mean, we're nearly $14 trillion in debt at this point. I mean, how bad is that?
Well, the actual $14 trillion isn't so terrible. Let me take issue with what you just said about it's a cyclical thing every 2 or 3 years or economists get upset about it. That minimizes the problem. It's not really right. In the last 2 or 3 years, we have built up our debt from about 40% of our gross domestic product to about over 60%. But the scary thing isn't even that. It's that as you look ahead, it rises and rises. We will have debt exceeding our whole economy size if we don't get off this unsustainable path. And the path doesn't have anything to do with what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years. The path was there before. It has to do with the aging of the population, the baby boom generation retiring. We've known about that for a long time, but we haven't done anything about it. And the rising cost of medical care. So we're on a very serious, unsustainable trajectory at the moment.
You know, I love the urgency here, and the numbers are frightening. The question, though, is, are there mechanisms in Congress to really deal with this? I mean, you were on the Congressional Budget, the Joint Congressional, the Joint Economic Committee for the Congress, right?
I was head of the Congressional Budget Office.
The CBO, right.
First
okay.
Director. I was also President Clinton's budget director
right.
when, if you're old enough to remember, we actually balanced the budget.
I am old enough to remember. now, but the Congressional Budget Office, commissions like this, I remember the Humphrey-Hawkins Full Employment Act, are attempts to force Congress to do something that it won't do on its own. What assurance do we have that even though there's this trigger, that if the commission votes unanimously for these recommendations, they go to the floor of the House and the Senate? What is the assurance that anything can actually be done in an institution that is known and replete for avoiding hard questions?
Well, that's the problem. And the commission's recommendations actually won't go to the floor of the Congress, at least not right away. There's a sort of a myth in the press these days that what really matters is if the commission gets 14 out of the 18 votes, then these proposals will go to the floor and be voted on. That's not right. They are actually not in legislative form. They will go to committees and they will have the normal legislative process, and of course there's the president, and he'll have a budget to deliver in February that will have some of these things and maybe different things in it. But does Congress have the will? We don't know. I think they do now. I've been very encouraged by what I've heard on this deficit commission from my fellow members who are members of Congress and in very important positions. They are really scared, and they don't all agree on what to do, but I believe they will do something.
And there's actually some of the critics say that this isn't the time for the deep cuts that your commission is recommending. Let me just play you a comment from Robert Kuttner. He's the author of A Presidency in Peril, and he's speaking on Democracy Now.
The economics are totally perverse. Bowles talks about being on a path to an economic crisis. Of course, we're in an economic crisis. We're in a prolonged recession that bears more resemblance, really, to a depression. And you cannot get out of a depression by austerity.
Alice Rivlin, your response?
Yes, I think Bob's a very smart man, but he ought to be able to keep two ideas in his head at once. One idea is we have to get out of this recession, and I, for one, would be in favor of a major new addition to the deficit temporarily, like a payroll tax holiday, for example, to help us get out of the recession. But we can't ignore the debt crisis that's looming at us, and if we don't do something about that, put in place legislation that will gradually, and I stress gradually, bring down the future debt, we will have a worse crisis than we're in now. So I think we can do both at once, and that's what the commission and another group that I've been on have recommended. Do two things at once. Get out of the recession and put in place longer-run measures that will bring the budget back on a sustainable track.
What do you think is the root problem here? I mean, what has the problem maybe that has extended over decades in the United States? I mean, Alan Simpson said, this is his quote, we had the greatest generation, I think this is the greediest generation. So maybe modern greed? Is it misunderstanding? Is it the fact that we elect politicians and not economists? What's really the cause of our deficit?
Oh, I don't think greed is any worse than it ever was. And remember, we did balance the budget in the late 90s. That was a considerable achievement. It just got out of whack again. I do think it's sort of the illusion that we can keep cutting taxes and raising spending and never have to pay the difference. But that's an illusion. We have to get over that.
So was some of the prosperity, though, that balanced the budget during the Clinton years. That was an illusion, too.
Well, it wasn't an illusion. It was real prosperity, but it did come to an end. And what balanced the budget, in addition to prosperity, was holding the line on spending, which we did very successfully.
Which we've got to do again.
And raising taxes a bit.
Alice Rivlin, former Federal Reserve Vice Chair for the first director of the Congressional Budget Office. She is on the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.